Welcome to Impossible Podcasts. Doctor Who, Series 5, Episode 11, The Lodger. I'm Kurt Woodbridge.
And I'm Sarah Burrow.
Welcome back to Impossible Podcasts. As we continue our Doctor Who commentaries, this week we reach The Lodger.
Yep.
This was the episode that introduced Craig, as played by James Corden.
Yep.
Of Gavin and Stacey fame, and it's much more of a lighter episode. Mm.
I enjoyed this episode. I think James Corden was really good. And his dynamic with Matt Smith was very good as well. So I liked this episode, and I liked the subsequent episode we got in the following season as well.
Yep.
Closing Time.
We didn't know it at the time, but it spawned a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one. I know that there's some people who found it a bit too silly, comedic, don't like James Corden, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's also based on a Doctor Who magazine comic strip, which was based around the 10th Doctor, David Tennant's Doctor, lodging with Mickey Smith.
I don't think Mickey Smith and... Well, we haven't seen Mickey Smith and this current Doctor together, have we?
No.
No, we wouldn't have done, would we?
No, so. He was last seen in The End of Time.
The End of Time.
Having been... somewhat arbitrarily married off to Martha Jones.
Yes.
So we'll get started with the episode. So if you're listening along at home, press play now. This park here is just round the corner from where we are now. So it's quite fun seeing some of the Cardiff, I think it's Waterview Gardens and places around there.
Oh, I was trying to remember how Amy ended up in a different place from the Doctor.
Mm. Oh yeah, and this is also something of an Amy Light episode.
Yeah.
Because she spent most of her time stuck in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
I don't think we had a Doctor Light episode as such this in series 5. Because they didn't have the Christmas special to film with the Doctor as part of this
No,
plot.
Not that I can think of.
This is written by Gareth Roberts, who's written quite a lot of the lighter Doctor Who episodes. He also wrote The Shakespeare Code.
Yay! I like The Shakespeare Code.
And
I'm aware I'm on my own with this, but I like The Shakespeare Code.
The Unicorn and the Wasp. And he's also written a lot of the Sarah Jane ones. Although with Sarah Jane, he tends to write the more serious emotional ones in contrast to his
lighter Doctor Who ones.
Yeah. So, but some of his Sarah Jane ones have been first class. Whatever happened to Sarah Jane being a particular highlight. We have done some Sarah Jane commentaries, so do check those out in the archive.
So here we are, the first appearance of James Corden as Craig.
Yeah.
And I cannot, for the life of me, remember her name.
Daisy. So what's the plan tonight? Pizza Boost
Telly? Yeah, Pizza Boost Telly. What is he doing up there? Playing Sophie, Daisy Haggard.
One furniture room available immediately. Shared kitchen, bathroom, a 27-year-old male, non-smoker, £400 PCM, per calendar month. So young, professional.
Sounds ideal. That's your mission in life, Greg. Find me a man.
Yeah, otherwise you'll have to settle for me.
It does a good job of just establishing the relationship between them very quickly and economically. The kind of,
along with the creepy, strange mold spreading. It's funny that they don't think it's odder that. I mean, even if you don't know much about mold, you do know that it doesn't spread quite like that.
Do you mind if I go?
No, not at all. No, honestly. Of course not. Go on. Because I can
stay home. I mean, what plans? Just pizza. Yeah, just pizza. Okay, right. Going. Well,
I'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Right. Give me a call. I hope everything's okay.
If you look carefully, there's a flyer for Van Gogh exhibition on the fridge.
Is there?
Nice little nod back to the previous episode. There's a rather odd, creepy photo on the wall there of a clown, which is also, in terms of incidental detail, people were speculating whether it had some significance. Yeah,
bang on. There you are.
But no, it's just a creepy picture of a clown.
Oh, I love this scene. He's talking to a fridge, which is hilarious.
Every time.
I'm not here. I like this.
Getting the bromance between Craig and the Doctor off to a good start.
Yep. Matt Smith had something in his ear then in that scene.
Yes. Yeah, it's his communication with Amy.
Oh, I've forgotten that. Have we ever seen that before?
I don't think so.
It's just a convenient communication device.
Yeah.
While the TARDIS has whisked Amy off somewhere else.
Dress.
Well,
you look
carrying
along. More lucky than you know. Yes, you'll be young professional, more of an ancient amateur.
I like
the line about the Doctor being an ancient amateur.
Yeah. Yes. I do like when the Doctor tries to do normal every day. It makes me
Yeah.
Sad. I like it.
I think it's fun and it harks back to some scenes in the classic series where you've got the same kind of thing. Because in the Sylvester McCoy story Survival at the end of the 80s, it was quite unusual in setting the Doctor down in a modern council estate. And it very much kind of sets the scene for where Doctor Who went when it came back. But in the 80s, you kind of hadn't had the Doctor in that very down-to-earth setting. But you have some quite amusing scenes of the Doctor trying to work out how to buy cat food and not quite remembering how this whole money thing works. But the Doctor's understanding of 20th century norms and culture does seem to vary wildly depending on the requirements of any given story, because you can't quite imagine this working with David Tennant's Doctor.
No,
because he seemed a lot more clued up.
Yeah,
whereas Matt Smith is a bit more.
He's never.
Is that a reference from the Archbishop of
Matt Smith never quite lost the slightly wackiness he got just after the regeneration, because obviously the regeneration he went very mad, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he never really lost that. But I like that, and I know a lot of people don't.
I think sometimes the zaniness goes over the top. because I like it. I like it when they balance it with the serious moment, so that you know that he is actually serious and intelligent under the zaniness. But sometimes it's just his tawdry quirks.
He also seems to have quite a habit of doing strange things with food, as we see now. He's trying to make an omelette, one would imagine.
The zaniness can get a little bit much at times. It's the hyperactive, crazy cartoon character Doctor.
I think I've said on this podcast before, actually, I like it because although I liked David Tennant as his Doctor, I think towards the end, a lot of the writing for David Tennant got very serious and got very sort of contemplatory.
Yeah.
We'd lost some of the fun in some of it, and I think I quite like the contrast now and the excitableness of Matt Smith as the Doctor.
Because an episode like The Impossible Astronaut gets a good balance, I think. Because on the one hand, you have those kind of more intense, serious moments in the TARDIS where he's like, what's going on? Trying to work it all out. He's taking it all very seriously. And then you've got him, bring me Jeremy Dodgers and affairs when he's sitting in the White House. And it's just when it gets too much one or the other, either too serious or too zany, that it gets a bit.
Thing is, he has no idea what he's on about.
Oh, I will. I'll shout. Mm-hmm. So nice. I was not expecting this!
I do wonder how... I wonder how this came about. I wonder whether Matt Smith and James Corden knew each other before. But they do play off each other very well.
Yeah. They had both been in The History Boys, but not at the same time, I think.
Right.
Could you not run away a bit, Pond?
Yeah, Pond?
It seems a lot off. Weird. Pretty weird, you know?
I didn't have 3 grand with him in a pink bag.
Wait, the Doctor.
Craig,
Oh, they've done the very... they do it in a lot of romantic comedy films, but they've got them laying on opposite sides of the beds when they're doing that cut between the two of them, haven't they?
I need your help.
That's a TARDIS trick.
You see yourself.
Yeah, she's
got a materialisation trying to land again, but she can't.
Yeah, it's one way to get Amy's scenes out the way easily, just stick her on the TARDIS set for a day.
Stuck.
I think one of the things in the story that does sort of jar slightly is that the Doctor does take so long to investigate it.
Yeah.
It does seem slightly artificial, considering the number of times the Doctor does just go blundering in without knowing what's going on.
Especially as he appears to know that there is something going on from the moment he... the moment he turns up on the doorstep, so...
Yeah. It's an unusual level of caution for the Doctor.
Yeah.
It would be absolute gibberish anyway. That's not the first time the series Matt Smith has worn sunglasses. He had them on in Cold Blood as well.
Ah, yes.
do those things. I've done it about two.
They were thermal imaging sunglasses, though, weren't they?
Special.
Special. Possibly sonic sunglasses. Quite exciting.
Interesting. Localized time loop.
That's not quite a time loop. That's just the clock's going forwards and backwards.
Yes, it's still affecting you.
Stacey, what
do
you say?
I haven't watched a great deal of Gavin Stacey. I didn't watch it when it was first on. But I have seen some episodes, and it is quite funny. It's quite harmless, really. But I have to say, I'd never got out of my way to watch the movie James Corden in.
Yeah.
Until I saw him in this, actually. And in the second episode he did. But I did quite like him in this. I think because of the dynamic between him and Matt Smith, I think.
Yeah, there's a very good interplay between them. I think it's interesting because the Doctor Who has predominantly tended towards having a female companion.
Yeah.
Because then you've got the whole male-female just balance, and you can have the kind of love interest thing, which they do with varying degrees of success and appropriateness.
Yes, yes.
I think Craig shows that you could have a male, just have a male companion in it.
Yeah.
There are fun and interesting things you can do with that. And there is a that kind of buddy movie type feel.
More so than they did with the few bits we see in with just Rory.
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
It's me from downstairs. I heard a big bang.
Because Rory, although they have developed him well, he is still very much defined in relation to Amy.
Yeah.
That's a gag from the comic as well. You have Mickey Smith trying to use the sonic screwdriver to brush his teeth.
So they swapped it around.
Kisses, oh dear, Doctor.
Not good when you're fully clothed, certainly not when you're wearing just a towel and a toothbrush.
A drinking competition.
I'd forgotten about the football.
Oh, yes. Matt Smith putting his football skills to good use.
Yeah.
Because as has been widely reported.
Anyway, he's wearing a different towel now.
Just stand on the sideline
with my
mascot.
Sorry?
Mascot. Well, yeah, not my mascot, is it? Football
match. I can't take a date.
It was your date.
Neither did I.
It's going well.
Keep digging, Craig.
Yep.
I think even the doctor might have tweaked it. There's something going on.
Yes, but that was...
Spare kits. Just in the bottom drawer. Bit of a mess. You unlocked the door. How did you do that? Those are your keys. You must have left them last time we came here.
Yeah, but I don't know, these are my keys.
I've been holding them.
You could just say that they've got a pink thing on them.
Yeah.
See. You must like it here too.
Good. Not uncomfortable at all.
Number 11, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
11th Doctor.
What is she doing with the...
What was wrong with the sticks, isn't it? Actually, Gordon, what's your proper name? Just call me the Doctor.
Yeah.
I can't go up to these guys who are heading with some new flatmate. He's called the Doctor.
Why not?
Because it's weird.
Right, tweed jacket over
his...
Hello, I'm Craig's new flatmate. I'm called the Doctor.
All right, Doctor. I'm Sean. Three strongest arms.
To be fair, the Doctor does get a lot of practice at running, so you'd
imagine
he's quite fit from all that dodging Daleks, Cybermen, etc.
He's very skinny, though.
Because, again, this is something of a departure for the Doctor, because he does tend to be portrayed as more of the geeky type.
Yeah.
And it's...
the idea we can actually possibly play football, which is...
yeah.
Not something usually combined with a geek.
It's the humour of the unexpected. But,
yeah. Oh, poor Craig.
It's a bit, it reminds me a bit of the funny moment in one of the Doctor Who novels, Father Time, where the Doctor's lost his memory and has been stranded on Earth for 100 years.
Yeah.
But he reaches the 1980s and one of the things he does is that he ends up playing snooker down, or maybe pool down at a pub somewhere, and it's like, takes a look at it, a simple application of Newtonian physics, sort of blinds it up, knocks it, and all of the balls hit all pocket themselves in order. It's like, is that how you're supposed to do it?
What's happened? Can you help me find
her? And that the Doctor adopts the daughter, and it's much better than the Doctor's daughter.
Around, not today, not ever. I'm the Doctor,
the old kind of storm. You basically meant being there for much sooner.
Yeah.
Lovely. What's up? Oh, poor Craig. Inappropriate use of dramatic hero
speech. And an annoying time loop.
The Doctor's thing is a bit like the ear pods that the Cybermen control people with.
Also, when he was in the house and the time loop struck, he did say it was a localised time loop. Well, he's not in the house now.
Yeah.
And the localised time loop seems to have followed him.
I'm sure the zigzag plotter is mentioned in a Tom Baker story or something. I just can't remember where. I'm sure it's a reference to something.
To something.
Gareth Roberts likes to play this sort of thing.
Hello. Oh, I have a difficult for a moment. Tights have been flung off into vortex.
Put him inside in. Not forever.
Possibly don't tell her that's a possibility, Doctor.
You've got to get me back to the air. I don't know.
Well, Tights.
Right.
Where are you?
Even better. Still, it means the effect's almost unbelievably powerful and dangerous, but don't worry. Hang on.
Okay. What's rewiring to do? Hang on! Traffic cone. Something all the best students have made off with it.
Yes, my housemates in first year did.
It's a cliche.
My housemates and not me.
Yes, perfect.
here, you scrumptious little beauty.
I've got big pen.
What are you doing? What are you doing? I've had a bit of a weird day. We did Pizza Boost Telly.
Wait. No Melina, no crises, no interruptions.
Great. Excellent.
It's one of the sitcom moments.
Yeah. They do manage to get quite a few of them in this episode, actually.
I think.
It is very sweet. I do like just the very ordinary, simple story they do with her and Craig.
And the doctor.
The doctor is the wild card element.
Yeah. Yeah.
That line about the doctor, about wondering where they all come from watching those two, because quite funny, and B shows that the doctor isn't quite as oblivious as he
pretends to be.
She
can't.
You need loads of qualification.
Yeah, true.
Just
scary. Everyone I know lives around here. Like, Craig got a job in London. Better money, didn't take it.
What's wrong with staying here? I can't see the point in London. Well, perhaps that's you then. Perhaps you'll just have to stay here, secure, and a little bit miserable to the day you drop. Better than trying and fail away. He's got dreams, so can very few are going to achieve them, so why pretend? Perhaps.
Not like the wine guns.
No.
Why are you saying that? That's horrible.
Is it true?
Of
course not true. I'm not staying the call centre all my life. I can do anything I want.
Oh,
yeah, right.
Okay. Oh, my God, did you see what you did?
Sorry,
what's
happening?
Are you going
to live with monkeys now? Big old
world. What
kind of tree are
you
keeping
you
in?
Hint, hint. Sure, poke them along.
Yeah.
Keep going, Doctor.
It does show that the Doctor's not completely oblivious.
Mm. Oh, there's that creepy kind of picture.
Yeah, that is quite weird.
Yeah.
Can
I help you say it, boss? What's keeping you here?
It's funny because I guess a lot of people will have I don't know about you, but I've seen friends where you just think, why don't they get to know? Everyone else can see it,
yes.
But they seem completely oblivious to the possibility. So it's quite fun just seeing that thing.
Having the general everyday.
I love the doctor's
This is in a frame. Sorry.
You're too normal. Be a problem. You said I could be lost forever. Just go upstairs.
Again, the doctor being more cautious than he usually is. Although I suppose if he thinks that Amy's in danger because of being trapped in the TARDIS, he might be being more cautious than usual. I think they could have lampshaded it, justified it a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't touch the weird mould, Craig.
Christ.
Look at me, I'm being normal.
I told you not to touch him. Was that
you to humans or...
Poor Craig.
Come on, Craig, breathe.
This reminds me a bit of the scene in The Unicorn and the Wasp, but the Doctor's been poisoned. Just the random ingredients, the rush to.
That's just essentially tea and a tea bag from the bin, isn't it?
Something like that. It's funny because in Doctor Who back in the 60s, it took them a long time to actually get to the point of putting the Doctor on every day because for the first 3 years or so, well, with the first companions, the whole story arc was that they were travelling with the Doctor and there was no way for them to get home.
Doing here? What are you doing here?
If that's your attitude, Mr. Lang, I suggest you take your custom elsewhere.
No, that's one of my best clients.
Hello, Craig. Hey, Peter. I was curious, never worked in an office, never worked in anywhere.
You're insane.
Leave off the Doctor. I want the Doctor. He was brilliant in the planning meeting.
You went to the planning meeting?
Yes, I was your representative. We don't need Mr. Lang anymore. Ooh, Mr. Lang.
Here you go.
I love the way the Doctor just turns up in an office environment.
Yes.
It's great fun. But yeah, the whole, for the first few years, the idea was the Doctor wasn't in control and couldn't get the companions back. So it was sort of built into the format that you couldn't have something on present day Earth, because that would be the end of their story, as it were. Shifted to become a lot more Earth-based, which I think can work really well, because Doctor Who, part of the appeal of Doctor Who is the collision of the everyday and the extraordinary, which is also something I really like when they do that in Harry Potter, like things hidden in plain sight type thing.
I mean, that works in a lot of series, doesn't it? It's a lot of the appeal. It's what helps you build that world to begin with, is that it's somewhat parallel to our own.
Yeah. And you can collide the two by taking someone from the present day and putting them in the extraordinary situations, other times and other places. Or you can bring the Doctor and bring the monsters into our world.
Yeah. Mon society, yes, it is for me. There's a Zimmer frame in there. That's most of my days.
I get the impression that Gareth Roberts might not be that impressed by modern art.
No.
This is one of these random plot shortcuts.
Yeah.
Hey, flashback sequence. Old Doctors. I mean, the Doctor have been established as being able to do mind meld type stuff before, like in Bill in the Fireplace.
It's hilarious he has to do it by headbutting him.
That's a new variation.
With this red
bulb, which is off, because Amy hasn't written it. Time travel. It cannot. That's a scanner. You've not technological technology of Palestine. Shut up! Yes. If there's a mind melt, you know that they're running short of running time left.
Yes, to get the
take a few shortcuts.
The new companion on board enough that he's useful in the remainder of the episode.
Yes, just as in The Girl in the Fireplace, it was to fast forward to the relationship between
Doctor and Madame de Pompadour.
Of course, you can understand this now. Hurrah! Got those plans yet?
Still searching for them!
I worked it out with psychic help from the cat.
Cat?
Yes, I know. He's got time then to do the flat upstairs. He's
using innocent people to try to launch it.
Whenever he does, they go.
Now, of course, this ship that we see is revealed to be the same as the one that the Silence building or museum in The Impossible Astronaut.
Yeah.
But that wasn't really explained.
No.
Where I thought it was going with that was that it would turn out that they needed a Time Lord to pilot the ship, which is why they needed to arrange for River they needed a Time Lady. And that she'd end up as some time travelling assassin in that very ship. But that's not quite how it worked out. How it all fits together still doesn't seem very clear.
No.
And I'm somewhat sceptical as to whether there is in fact a coherent plan or whether Stephen Moffat's just making it up as he goes along. Because the number of loose ends still left over from this and from the big Big Bang and Doric opens, is why it exploded and everything. I'm hoping that it all fit together, but with the time that's passed, then rather.
Yeah.
It seems a bit unlikely that he's going to revisit it all and tie it all together.
It's good that he remembered the sonic screwdriver this time, not the toothbrush.
Yeah.
To help Sophie then.
It was going to be a different villain. It was going to be Megloss, who was a villain in Tom Baker's time.
Oh, right.
It was he's a bit of a rubbish villain, and that was going to be the joke. It's me, Megloss, last of the Zorofalfurans. And the Doctor would be like, who? He's like, surely you must remember me, or old Nemesis. It's like, no, sorry. I defeat a lot of people. This happened.
Way too much
of
the ship, my helicopter's
on land. There's been some panic, doesn't blow up the whole solar system. It doesn't. Obviously. It does annoy me when they do the whole pointless escalation thing.
The whole world is in peril!
It doesn't actually just having him shout, but it's not just the whole Earth, the whole solar system. That doesn't actually raise the stakes at all.
No.
It's just so silly.
But if you're 10 years old, it's probably daunting enough.
Yeah, but it'd be daunting enough without it.
Well, yeah, true.
We care about the Doctor and we care about these characters.
Yeah.
And we know that bad stuff will happen. You don't need to go, oh, it's...
I do like that.
Yeah.
Of course I
mean it,
do
you mean it?
Yes. Aww. I love that. I love you too, you idiot.
And I do think they do a nice job of just tying it together. The reason it works for Craig is that he doesn't want to leave.
Yeah. I think the science is a bit shaky, but the character development is nice, I think. I try not to think too hard about the science anyway, so yeah. Everybody out.
Something we didn't comment on was the revelation that the building didn't have a top floor.
Yeah.
That was nicely done.
I quite like that reveal. I quite like the reveal of the revelation. I found the plans. We can't be upstairs. There is no upstairs.
And this did lead to speculation that there wasn't an upstairs on Amy's house.
On Amy's house.
You see the stairs leading up, and it could have been another of those hidden in plain sight.
Because you had another perception filter thing on Amy's place, didn't you? And
perception filter. There never was a top floor.
Good old perception filter. Accountable for a lot of things. Also, the ship looks slightly like a wasp. Just like I thought that.
Oh, kissy, kissy.
More about the monkeys.
Because I forgot she doesn't actually live there, does she?
No.
Do whatever we want.
But she has two sets of keys to get in.
And then you do have the whole poignancy of the doctor not being able to
not being able to stay.
In order to
busy.
I want you to keep these. Because I might pop back soon and have another little set.
Maybe you won't. I've been in your head, remember? Still want you to keep them.
But he will come back.
Thank you. Now then,
Obviously pointed because she has one.
Yeah.
It's just been erased from the entire universe. Slightly problematic. And to that point, she now finds the ring, doesn't she?
Yeah. Something can be remembered.
Yeah.
Come back.
So that's the run up to our last two episodes. It's a two-parter to finish, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Which we'll be covering in the next 2 weeks. Or myself and Pete will, anyway.
Yep, unfortunately, we don't seem to be able to get
all of us together.
No? Same room for commentary at the moment.
Apparently, I don't have much on, though, because I'm in all of them. So, yes, the next two are The Pandora Opens and The Big Bang.
Yes, indeed.
In that order?
Yep.
Oh, I am very surprised. I actually remembered. So there we go. I really like that episode.
Yeah, I think it does a really good job. It's really nice and fun. And yeah, I think it just does a good job of playing up the humour, having that kind of sitcomish thing while combining that with her Save the World plot, which is slightly perfunctory. But
Yeah, I think the Save the World plot science-y bit is a bit lacking, but I think it's a lot of character development, and I like, and I love the fact that they brought Craig back.
Hmm.
Obviously with Stormageddon, is it?
Yes.
His son.
Happy.
In the next series, I really like that they brought him back. I just like that, like you said, we've been so used to a female companion, and that whole dynamic of will they, won't they, or, you know, like definitely won't, like Catherine Tate's character and whatnot. But it's just nice to have, you know, just a play around again with having someone different, really.
Yeah, I would like them to bring Craig back for the third thing, make a trilogy of it.
Yeah, I would as well.
I think they're introducing Jenna Louise Coleman in the Christmas special.
Yeah.
So it looks like they won't be going for the It's a Wonderful Life with Craig idea that I've got, but maybe next year.
Yeah. I do hope they bring him back. I think he's good.
Yeah.
They'd have to do a lot of work if he was ever to become an actual companion. Because I think they'd have to do some serious work about where they think they would progress his character. Because in the two episodes he's been in, he's very good at playing the slightly useless.
Yeah. Well, they did it with Donna. I don't think they would have him as a companion.
No.
I think in story-wise, now that he has a wife and son, then that's probably... you wouldn't be able to do that with this character.
I just think, on a practical level, I don't know necessarily that James Corden could commit to something like that as well anyway. But
yeah, I think it is quite a strong parallel with Catherine Tate, a fairly well-known comedy character.
Yeah.
But I think the character of Craig was much more immediately likable and relatable than Donna was.
Especially as Donna did that first Christmas special before she became the companion.
Yeah.
It was so wholly irritating and screamed a lot.
And she's very good in series 4, but they did
tweak
the character and develop the character.
And I really liked her as a companion. I couldn't stand her in that Christmas special because she just screams the entire time and she just didn't have a lot to her in terms of her character.
Yeah.
But then I think they did a good job with her in the series. But I definitely like to see Craig, Sophie and Stormageddon back. But next is the Pandorica opens.
Indeed. The Pandorica will open, silence will fall.
When the question is asked, I believe. So, and that's the run to the end of the series.
Yep, and then it won't be long until the new series. Series 7 starts in probably late August or early September.
Early September.
So yes,
not
stay
long.
Tuned. And next week, next week at time of recording, tickets for the BFI screening go on sale. So I'm going to try and get along to that possibly.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see what happens.
So let us know what you think of The Lodger, what you thought, and whether you'd like to see Craig back.
Indeed. We've had some comments on the Vincent and the Doctor
last week's
commentary, so thanks very much for those. We'll pick those up in Points of Who in a couple of weeks.
At the end of the month, and any of the other comments we get.
Yep. So thanks for listening, and keep them coming.
Speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Impossible Podcast. For more Doctor Who commentaries, plus other science fiction and fantasy reviews and discussions, please visit our website, impossiblepodcasts.blogspot.com, or search for us on iTunes. We'd love to hear from you. Please follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or email us via impossiblepodcasts@gmail.com. Thanks for listening!